I thought I'd stand. I just had this desire to stand down here, so you have to look through the candlesticks, and I'll try to stay on this. Like you said, I got to stay up here so she can. If I get back there, and you can't see me. If you turn your Bibles, or if you don't have one, there's probably one in your pew in front of you. And to Colossians chapter 3. We still have one more sermon to do in Ruth. So, Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If then, and the word is literally since then, so it's not like if, sort of, kind of, hopefully. Gary, can you unring me? Thank you. Oh, okay, thank you. That worked. That's right. Somebody's answered, God's answered somebody's prayer. Since then, you've been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, I think in the King James it says set your affections, or it could be translated be intent on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with Him in glory. This is an amazing passage of Scripture, and just in the last couple of days, the Lord's really been speaking some things to me that's just been profoundly encouraging, but also profoundly instructive. You know, usually the Lord doesn't just encourage you. He encourages you with words of life. And words of life means that they're words that make it, that matter in your life, that make life different. It's not just He speaks something to you that's fleeting. It adds to your life. And as fallen people, we're always struggling to live this Christian life out. Because we do have this pull. Gary and I were talking about this earlier. We just have this pull, this gravitational pull. It's called the law of sin, sin nature, whatever term you want to use. It pulls at us. And so every day we fight the good fight. By faith. And so when God speaks words to us that give their spirit life, it's so encouraging because they add to the journey and make the journey easier. If you guys are cold, we turn that on because we get really hot up there. So if somebody wants to turn it, just turn the fan off. And then we can turn the fan back on later. It's not the air conditioner, but it feels like the air conditioner. Okay? In this passage of Scripture, there are some neat things that God speaks to us about who we are, and speaks to us about discovering the truth about who we are, being our true selves. And maybe it'll make more sense if I simply just talk to you about what He's saying instead of trying to explain it beforehand. Don't do the sermon beforehand, but do the sermon during. Listen to what He says. Remarkable Scripture. Since then, you've been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. Again, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, interesting thing, the way He identifies believers. He identifies believers as those people who have been raised up with Christ. Raised up, not just raised up, but raised up with Christ. Raised up in union with Christ. And then He says, for you have died. So the fact that there's a resurrection, there's a prelude to that, and that means that there's some kind of death that's need, then therefore is needed a resurrection. When He says, therefore, in verse 3, He says, for you have died, and again, 4, in light of the fact that He said that you've been raised up, for you have died, and the question is, who died? And what died, and therefore we need to be raised up, was the old false self. And the reason we use the term false self, the fallen self, is a false self. It's not the person God created mankind to be at all. It's the fig leaf people. The people who spend their lives hiding and afraid. And if you look in Genesis chapter 3, what you see there is a people, Adam and Eve, who are full of insecurity and fear and shame and guilt. Insecurity with each other, sowing fig leaves, and insecure in their relationship with God. And that can really, at different levels and in different forms, can identify the struggle of the false self. and the struggle that we deal with because of the sinful nature in us, or the law of sin, that wants us to live like we're still the false self. And if we spend much of our days and our lives in hiding, because we really don't know who we are, and we really don't know what people want us to be, but because of our insecurity and our fear of rejection, we find ourselves just trying to be what everybody wants us to be, right? And yet we live with a sense of shame and guilt all the time before God. And a lot of that's because in the fall, when you saw Adam and Eve in the fall, and they become, instead of standing before the Lord, we've used this phrase a lot, Leanne Payne is the one who coined this phrase, they find themselves, or I think C.S. Lewis actually first, bent towards the creature. Instead of finding their true identity, who they are as persons, being themselves in light of their call to be in the image and likeness of God, when there came that separation, they became fallen people. It's now a false self that's bent towards the creature. And when you're bent towards the creature, you're going to live your life in insecurity and in guilt before God. And that's the struggle that all of us deal with, even as believers, because that's the downpull, is to get us to come back to that, to be in that place where we live bent towards the creature, a broken, fallen self who's living insecure and guilt-ridden and hidden. And he says, that person died. And then he says, you and I are people who've been raised up with Christ. What a wonderful way to describe being a Christian. What a wonderful way to describe being saved. Because the word lost, we've talked about this some over the years, doesn't just represent the fact that I'm lost in my sins and I need to be forgiven, but I've lost myself. I've lost my way. I'm just lost in life in general. And when Jesus comes to save us, he saves the whole person. And he raised us up in union with him. And what a wonderful way to describe who Sarita is. She's a person who's been raised up with Christ. Chuck's a person who's been raised up with Christ. Gary's a person who's been raised up with Christ. Jennifer has been raised up with Christ. And he uses the term, not if, but since. Since then, you've been raised up with Christ. Something should be different. Since then, you've been raised up with Christ. Raised up, not just raised up from the dead spiritually, but listen to what he says here. Since then, you've been raised up with Christ. We're raised up into union with him. Before the fall, we were created to live in union with God and to find ourself, to find our identity, to find our self-image, our self-acceptance in union with him, in relationship with him. In the fall, that was lost. But when you become a Christian, when you're born again, that person who's separated from God is now gone. People talk all the time about what does it mean to be saved? This is the primary thing that means to be saved. That your sins were forgiven so that he could raise up you to the place you were created to be, and that is with Christ. Raise you up to be in union with Jesus. Okay? Now, he goes on, he says this. If then, since then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your affections, or set your mind, on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and this is what he says here, and your life is hidden with Christ.
Amen.
And when Christ, who is our life, he says, this new person that you are, your life is hidden with Christ. Christ is your life. And so he strengthens once again this whole idea of being in union with Jesus. And that's where I find my life. Now, hear these words again. There's someone who died. You've been raised up with Christ. And your life is hidden with Christ.
Amen.
Our true selves, our true identity, is only found in union with Jesus.
Amen.
And you'll never learn to be yourself apart from union with Christ.
Amen.
Does that make sense what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
See, when you're fallen creatures, or you're still dealing with your fallenness as a Christian at a heavy level, you're struggling to even know who you are. And the reality is, for most people, and even most Christians, if I were to ask them, do you know who you are? Do you understand who you are?
Amen.
And the truth would be, no. I find myself often on the outside looking and watching my behavior and wishing, is that me? Is this me? Is this person? A lot of it's, again, like pinball. We're bouncing back and forth based on what we think this person wants me to be or that person wants me to be. But one of the great things God was speaking to me this weekend, you know, is like going, Lord, when we struggle with issues that pull us to be bent and insecure and afraid, the Lord's like said, Chuck, you'll never be yourself apart from union with me. And it's only in living out your union with me are you going to be comfortable enough to be yourself. Because your life is hidden with Christ. He's your life. And the deeper the union, the more of myself I become. Did you hear that?
Good word.
The deeper the union, the more myself I become. Now, I've got my glasses off so I can read some of my notes. I wrote my Bible. Because I can't bring notes down here if I'm going to have a platform, a pulpit or a lecture in front of me. As I walk out my union with Jesus, my relationship with Jesus, the more intimate that relationship is, the stronger that union is in my experience, the more myself I become. Because I find myself living in the reality of the security and acceptance of His intense love. See, in union, my experience of Him grows. And in union with Him, this one who is my life, I become more and more comfortable with me. Because I become more and more secure in His affection and His acceptance. I find myself resting in a love that's stronger than death. I find myself secure in a love that is severe as Sheol. I find myself knowing deep down in my inner person that I am His beloved, fully and fiercely accepted by Him. And in light of His affection, I find myself being freed from being bent towards others and living out the truth about who I am in union with Jesus. Instead of dancing to everybody else's tune, I'm dancing to His. We've talked about this in the past, way past, in the Song of Solomon, that much of our identity we find outside of ourselves. And that I think about myself, much of what I think about myself is what others think about me. Now, you understand, we were created that way. We were created to find our identity in another. And that other is Jesus. But in the fall, we got bent, and now we become codependent on the creature. And that's a very unsafe place to be. You know why? Because they're as messed up as you are. They're as fallen as you are. And it becomes this toxic thing. Now, hear what these verses are saying. And I keep reading them to you again and again because you really need to understand the sequence of what He's saying to us. Since then you've been raised up with Christ, Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Be intent. Set your affection, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Why? For you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, we'll be revealed with Him in glory. So what is God saying? Strengthen your union. Pursue Him. In light of the fact that your life is hidden in Him, in light of the fact that He's your life, in light of the fact that your identity and my true identity is in union with Jesus, seek Him. Set your affections on things above. Literally, He says, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Keep seeking. Make that the pursuit of your life. Cultivate intimacy. Pay whatever price you have to pay. The good news is this. If you don't know who you are and you live your life in a quagmire of insecurity, He says that He's your life. And if you'll seek Him, if you'll deepen that union relationship with Him, He'll free you from that. In Him we live and move, it says in Acts 17, and become. That word literally means and become. We become in His presence. We become in His presence. And we become again what Adam and Eve were. We become namers. Instead of spending our lives having other people and circumstances and our behavior naming us, identifying us, this is where all the guilt stuff comes from. We become namers. We become more than conquerors. We become overcomers in life. Because it comes from a place of security. Living in light of His deep affection, I'm able to be a namer. Because I'm not trying to find my identity in everybody else's acceptance or my performance. Keep seeking those things above. See, here's the thing. Our relationship with Him, our Christianity, to know Him is an endless journey of hungering and satisfaction. An endless journey of seeking and finding. And the cool thing about it is, the more you find, the more you want to seek. Because when you taste the Lord, you discover how good He is. And it's so awesome to discover suddenly I'm able to be myself and not be haunted by fears and insecurity. And God knows things, uses things to create desperation. He knows how to initiate hunger in us, doesn't He? He knows how to create deprivation, starvation in us. Because He wants us to be set free from being so bent towards the creature. He wants us to know what it really, He really wants us to know what it means, to, what it is to experience being secure. And to not live in fear and guilt and shame. He really wants us to live in the freedom that comes from resting in His deep affection and amazing acceptance of us. And so He says, since your life is hidden in Christ, since He's your very life, then spend your life seeking Him. Spend your life seeking those things which are above. Because you've been raised up. Don't spend your life seeking acceptance and approval. Spend your life seeking favor. Here, all you'll find in a fallen world is the fallen stuff rising up again. Seek Him. If you remember in the Song of Solomon, and this is really imperatively true when God does a new thing in your life, when He pours out His Spirit in a new way in your life. That great passage in the Song of Solomon that we've been doing for years now, that says, listen, my beloved, behold, He is coming, leaping on the mountains. It says, rise up, come along, for the winter is past. In that passage of Scripture, remember what He does. Anytime God does a new work in your life, one of the things you can be sure of is this. And the Lord's doing this new thing in many of your lives. He says, rise up, my darling, my beautiful one, come along. He says it twice. And He says, oh, my dove, in the cleft of the rock, in the secret place of the steep pathway, let me see your form. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is sweet and your form is lovely. What did He call her to? This new place involved new intimacy. This new place called new relationship. Deepening union with Christ. And anytime God does a new thing in you, always be sure that His first priority, and this is one of the really cool things the Lord reminded me of, even in the last day or so. The 11th hour word about the vineyard, about coming into the vineyard, and that even if you come into the 11th hour, the denarius is yours. Our tendency is to think about that in terms of the anointing. And that's what I was thinking about, because that's in the context that God spoke to me, that even if you enter into a repentant life, even if you enter into a place where you're fully surrendered to Him at the 11th hour, in that whatever time you have left, you can know God's highest favor and blessing on your life. You can know His best for you. But that's not just about the anointing. It's about union. That no matter how much time you've wasted, no matter how many years you struggle in insecurity and fear and self-rejection and guilt and shame, He's still saying if you'll step in and you'll seek Him with all your heart, you can be free. And what time you have left on this earth, you can enter into deep union with Him. Where all anointing really comes from, in our union with Him. He can set you free. Have we wasted time? Would it have been wonderful to experience that union all these years? Yes. But it's still there for you. Not just the anointing, but His intimacy, union. Make no mistake about it. That's really what God's doing more than anything else. Seeing people healed, that's wonderful. But God's called us to a deeper union with Jesus. And the good news is, no matter how much time you've wasted in fear and insecurity and self-rejection, you can know the highest level of union that He ever meant for you to have in the time you have left. Isn't that cool? Now listen to this, what He says. This is so awesome to me. After saying who we are, raised up, old self, dead, that Christ is our life is hidden with Him, therefore we should spend our life seeking Him in an ever-increasing way, cultivating our union with Him. He goes on, He says this, now listen. Because people have interpreted this as eschatological, Jesus coming again, but listen to the context. Because He just got through telling us to seek Him, set our minds, set our affections on things above. Let's keep seeking Jesus. Then He goes, He says, and when Christ, who is our life, is revealed. Revealed to who? To what? To me, as I'm seeking Him. He said if I would seek Him, He'd let me find Him. When Christ, who is my life is hidden with Christ. Christ is my life. Therefore, keep seeking Him. And when you do that, when Christ is revealed to me, when He reveals Himself to me, in that secret place of the steep pathway, listen to what He says. Then you will also be revealed. Then who you really are. Your true personhood. Your true self. The person you've always wanted to be. The person that you've always longed to be. The person who's comfortable and feels good in their skin and is secure and confident. Who likes themselves, that person will be revealed. As Jesus is revealed, that person that you've always wanted to be, you don't have to spend the rest of your life wishing you were that person and this person and this person because they seem to be more loved or funnier or handsome or whatever. No, the person God's made you to be, the wonderful person, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. That person that you've always longed to be, but just out of your grasp. The person that you celebrate when Christ is revealed, then you're revealed. And that's what He says. Revealed with Him, where? In glory. Do you understand that? It's in glory. That when Christ reveals Himself, what you experience is glory. And it's in glory that the true self comes to light. It's as we walk in glory, the presence, manifest presence of Christ in our own life, as we seek Him, He says, if you'll seek Him and keep seeking Him and set your heart on things above, He will reveal Himself to you. And when He reveals Himself to you, there'll be glory. And in that glory, you will be revealed. It's hard to be afraid when you're walking in the cloud of glory. It's hard to be insecure and bent when you've entered into the cloud. Transfiguration happens.
Amen.
On the Mount of Transfiguration, the Luke passage, it says there was this cloud of glory and they entered into it. And in that place where the manifest presence of Christ is in you and on you, because He's revealing Himself to you, you find this person and that you really aren't the mistake you always thought you were. That God made you just who you were supposed to be. In the glory of God you come alive. In Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we live and move and become. In Him we live and move and are. That's what that word literally means. So, sometimes I say this in plain English, not in preachy language. I don't know about you, but I spend, there are times in my life I just spend being uncomfortable. Just with me. I don't know who to be, what to say, what I'm supposed to do. Just be uncomfortable. And I find myself in times in crisis and situations, just not being myself at all, acting like I'm fearful or insecure or bent, just goofy. I mean, is that only me? Anybody else out there? And so you repent and you say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to act like an idiot anymore. I'm not going to be weird and insecure and try to fix everything so I'll feel safe, you know. And you try, but it's so intense. It's like, how do you stop? In the glory. In the glory of God. You don't stop by hating yourself more. You can't repent. you can't repent of a terrible self-image. You can only find a new one. You can't repent of a false identity. You just got to discover the real one. Where you'll stop doing all that is seeking Him. And in His presence, letting Him reveal Himself to you in glory. And in that glory, suddenly you start becoming this person that you always wish you could be. Who you really actually are. Because you've been raised up with Christ. Amen. But it's allowing that experience to happen in you. You hear me? Mm-hmm. So I don't want this sermon to sound so philosophical it's not practical. This is so practical to me. You know, and there are times in my life when God's let me get so hungry. Amen. So hungry for Him. It usually comes in uncomfortable places. Right?
Amen.
It says in Psalm 78, that when He killed them, they sought Him. Isn't that unfortunate? But many times in my life, that's exactly what happens. He'll kill me. He'll use something that's just killing me. Just breaking your heart and killing you. And you're going, God. And you try to get out of it, and you sort of settle in like the world. Okay, I'll ride this out. Lord, I'm hurting so bad, I'm acting like a fool. And I don't know how to stop it, so I'll just ride it out somehow. And pray that everything changes around me so it won't be so hard. Right?
Amen.
And the Lord said, I'll tell you what you do. Why don't you enter into the cloud? Why don't you press in? Why don't you spend time in my presence? Why don't you let me reveal myself to you? And if you'll do that, Christ is our life. And when Christ, listen to these words, now listen to the sequence. Since then, you've been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking those things above where Christ is. Because you're in union with Him. Set your affection, set your mind, be intent on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ and God. And when Christ is your life, as a result of your seeking, is revealed. You will come out of the cocoon. You will come alive. You will also be revealed with Him. Not on your own, in union with Him, in glory. Isn't that an awesome word? Freeing word? You mean I don't have to stay this blithering, shivering, reed blowing in the wind? No. He said that He came to make me an oak of righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.